Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Mayr-Melnhof Karton AG conference call. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After a short presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Stefan Sweerts-Sporth, the speaker of Mayr-Melnhof Group. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello and welcome on the part of Mayr-Melnhof from a sunny winterly morning in Vienna. My name is Stefan Sweerts-Sporth, heading Investor Relations and Corporate Communications at MM. It's a great pleasure to have you joining this conference call on our latest news from this morning, Mayr-Melnhof Karton to acquire Kwidzyn Mill in Poland from International Paper. Peter Oswald, our CEO, and Franz Hiesinger, our CFO, will be sharing with you now the highlights of this transaction and its impact on the MM Group. This will be based on a presentation which has been made available on the front page, the home page of our corporate website, mayr-melnhof.com. It's the download on the second square with the mill photo. After the presentation, we will enter into a Q&A session in which Peter and Franz will be happy to answer your questions. Since this call is directed to an international audience, we shall be very happy to and appreciate your questions to be asked in English. Peter, may I ask you to start with your comments on the Kwidzyn acquisition, please?
Thank you, Stefan. Also from my side, welcome to everyone. Good morning, and thank you for taking the time to join us. Only a few hours ago, Mayr-Melnhof has signed an agreement to acquire Kwidzyn. We are very pleased as Kwidzyn is one of the best mills in Europe. So please take notice of the disclaimer on page two, and I would like to move to page three. We've acquired the company for a price enterprise value of 670 million, and in addition, we are assuming 33 million in usufruct and operating lease liabilities. This is all funded from existing credit lines and the ongoing issue of a Schuldschein. The transaction will be immediately accretive to MM Group earnings. What we are attracted by is the enormous development potential and the synergies, which are under our control. The transaction is subject to customary closing conditions, and closing is expected to be in Q3 of this year. If we move on to page four, we've here our five strategic rationales. Now, the most important is that we are strengthening our competitiveness, our competitive positions in FBB, so in folding boxboard, that's the virgin-based cartonboard, because we can now offer more innovation, we can do more in terms of sustainability, and we have a broader service offering. But most important, we have a backup, especially also with regards to Kotka, because our big customers want backup solutions, and we have now two sizable mills with big machines, first-class machines, which can be a backup to each other. Secondly, we enter a very adjacent business, which is flexible fiber packaging with a product, IPAC, and that will be important for plastic substitutions. So many of our customers want not just carton solutions, ideally with barrier solutions without plastic, but they also want paper. Think about fast food service where you have some of the products in carton, but you also have some paper. Thirdly, we enter the uncoated fine paper segment via an established low-cost producer, and that's very important. uncoated fine paper is a declining business. We're aware about it, but being the low-cost producer gives us opportunities. And that's the important thing, is if the market further declined, we can use the excellent cost position of the mill, being in the first cost quartile with all four carton/paper machines, to grow in other packaging grades. And of course, we have substantial synergies. They will take some time to be realized. We think about 3 years, but they will be very important. So let me say a few words, coming now to page 5, about the company description. So the important thing is that it is an integrated mill. So it has a chemical pulp mill with a capacity of about 400,000 and also production of about 400,000 tons, which is then forward integrated into these four paper and cartonboard machines. Now, this business is a business about location. So it's really location, location, location. And Poland has the advantage of low wood costs, low personal costs, low transport costs to the customers. So as someone said to me, it's in the middle of the forests and amongst in the middle of its customers. It produces three products. One is consumer board, which constitutes 2/3 of EBITDA, and this is obviously what is at the core of our business, an FBB board machine with a capacity and a production of 260,000 tons, which can be expanded, requiring capex to 300,000 tons. Then one machine which is producing kraft paper. This is still in the ramp-up phase, so they are currently producing only about 1/3 of the capacity of 75,000 tons, and that's a profit potential improvement. And then there are two uncoated fine paper machines producing copy and printing paper. And here we are attracted by two things. As I said, first, it is these machines are in the first cost quartile, so they are very competitive. And second, we've extensively studied options to convert one machine into different grades as an option if the market declines further. So this is nothing we will do over the next 2 years or so, but it is very important that we have this long-term outlook. On page 6, you get a photo of the company, and you can see that it was very well defined in the 1780s. So it's a big site. It has a number of opportunities. So that with the holes, we can, if we change machines, we can even build in bigger machines. And obviously, there is enough space to further expand. And as you can see, it's virtually in the middle of the forests, but still in the middle of Europe, close to its customers, which means lower transport costs and lower CO2 costs. And so I hand over now to my colleague, Franz Hiesinger, our CFO, about the financials.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning also from my side. On page 7, I continue with the key combined pro forma financial overviews of the Meyer Mendel Group post the acquisition of the Kwidzyn mill. So from a turnover of 2.5 billion, excluding two acquisitions, Kotka Mills and Kwidzyn, would have on a pro forma 2020 basis 3.4 billion in revenue, about 550 million euros in adjusted EBITDA on a pro forma basis 2020, and the revenue per segment would be very balanced between the two divisions, MM Karton contributing about 53% of sales and MM Packaging 47%, which is a change to the current structure where Karton only contributes for about 40%, excluding the two acquisitions. On a fiber-based source, in future, we would be balanced between recycled and virgin fiber board in the future. If you go to the next page, number 8, the key takeaways financially, Quitzin Mill contributes 510 million euros on revenue in 2020 and an adjusted EBITDA of about 92 million euros. Of that, 46% of their revenues is folding boxboard, 47% uncoated fine paper, and about 7% kraft paper. Most importantly for us, about two-thirds of the EBITDA is generated out of folding boxboard, our core business. Yes, to summarize, on an enterprise value, we pay about 700 million, including 33 million leasing obligation, including the perpetual usufruct, and we pay around 7.6 times EBITDA pre-synergies, and hope, of course, to realize a number of synergies out of that. The funding and the financing of the transaction will come from committed credit line and the issue of a Schuldschein, which we have announced earlier this year. And we expect to close the Schuldschein transaction by end of February. Thank you, and I hand back to Peter.
Yeah, thank you, Franz. So to summarize the strategic rationale, this is perfectly in line with our long-term strategy to grow within our core business through integration of high-quality virgin fiber assets, which are cost-advantaged. We add a European high-class asset with a good positioning in the markets, well-known brands in the market, and a favorable cost position close to its customers. And we have the option via conversions or also expansions to grow the business over time. What will be the impact on our group? It is immediately accretive to group earnings. We have multiple sources of synergies, which will be under management control. And most of important for us, we want to have a solid, strong balance sheet, and we will have this solid, strong balance sheet. And just to remind everyone, our philosophy is to stay below go to a maximum of 2.5 times EBITDA, and medium terms to be at around or to stay below 2 times, but after an acquisition, so to say, it can go for a certain period of time to 2.5. And with this acquisition, you can do the numbers. We will just touch above 2 times. In this way, we are very excited. We've worked long and hard for this acquisition, and we're very happy that in the morning hours of today, we could finally agree on this. It's a major step for the group, and it's full in line with our strategy. And we are now looking forward to your questions. Thank you.
Dear ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask the question. If you find your questions answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. And the first question we received is from Markus Demis of Raiffeisen Bank International. Your line is now open, sir. Please go ahead.
Congrats on the deal. Couple of questions, please. Firstly, on the occasion of Kotka Mill, you said this would be a no-brainer from a strategic point of view. Mr. Oswald, would you consider Quitzin to be in the same category?
Yes.
Okay, very clear. On the synergies, because I guess this is very crucial also for future value generation, is it fair to assume that it's mostly cost-centered, and maybe you can provide some granularity on the extent of synergies? So how much of cost can you actually take out, say, over the next 3 years?
We will be between 15 and 20 million euro per annum, which we will achieve in year three.
And the main areas of efficiency gains, where would you see that? Is that procurement, presumably?
Yes. It is procurement. It is also in production, and also in sales, in terms of so our distribution costs and sales costs and logistics.
Okay. Is there any noteworthy investment needs associated after the, or in the wake of the integration? Any kind of bottlenecks you're seeing where you need to step up CapEx?
Yeah, the good news is there is no need now for bigger CapEx. In terms of there are obviously ongoing CapEx, which you need for the size of such a company, of such a mill. But the good news is that we have a number of projects of potential CapEx which have a decent payback. But we are not forced to do them. We will first fully understand the mill, see that the carve out from IP works well, and once with things under control and processes and organization established, we will look into value enhancing CapEx, but it's not like needed that something breaks down and we have to spend money.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when I look at the capital or investment intensity of your cartonboard segment, Kotka and Kvitsdin, you've been somewhere between 6 and 7% of revenues on a long term basis. Is that kind of the capital spending we should look for this division then also going forward, or is there any reason to assume a change in the capital intensity?
The capital intensity will be somewhat lower. So we calculate about 4% of sales without expansionary CapEx. I think when you look also to the numbers, there were some minor expansionary CapEx involved. And generally speaking, the quality of the asset is let's say it's a somewhat more modern mill than our typical mills today would be.
Okay, that's very good to hear. Final question for now before I step back into the line. I mean, you said you will be just a notch above this 2x net debt EBITDA after the two transactions. Now, does that mean something like 1.2 billion net debt at the end of 21 when both targets have been consolidated?
That might be a quite good estimate, yes.
Okay.
Approximately.
All right, then. Okay. Well, thank you very much for now.
Welcome.
The next question received is from Johannes Kuncialius from Kepler Cheuvreux. Your line is now open, sir. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, everyone. It's Johannes Kuncialius here. I have a couple of questions for you. And Peter, you're indicating that this mill and it's completely integrated is in good shape. But just to clarify, there are no investment needs in a refurbishment of a recovery boiler, for example, or how do you see that?
Yeah, Johannes, that's an excellent question because the recovery boiler is the most expensive part. The recovery boiler was well maintained. So we will need ongoing maintenance work to be done, but it is in such a shape that we don't need to rebuild it.
Okay. Good to know. Then I was wondering if you could give us a little bit more history on the profits from this mill. I mean, the numbers for the last year or so is clearly attractive. What could you perhaps say something about, you know, the last 3 years or something like that?
Yes. So there was a downward trend, mainly driven by uncoated boot free. So the profits in 2019 was higher, and 2018 was again higher than 2019. So historically, it is a more a profitable mill, and our view is simply that not immediately, but over time, we will go back to these levels because we are first of all right now a bit in the down cycle, especially with regards to pulp prices and uncoated wood-free prices. And if things do not improve, then obviously we have to think moving the machines into other fields. I mean, as Franz shared with you, two-thirds of the profits are produced by one machine, but there's no reason why the other machines shouldn't reach a much higher level, and that would be our management challenge to make sure that this happens.
Yeah, because if I look at my Melnoff cartoon, I think you are at about 18% or slightly more on EBITDA margin for the last three quarters, and this unit in Poland has an 18% EBIT margin as well. But you are indicating that if we would strip out the uncoated fine paper here, actually the EBITDA margin on the folding box board, the product is higher.
Yes. Yeah. It's significantly higher. It is in the first quartile of the cost curve, given all the factors which I've mentioned, mainly wood costs and transport costs.
Yeah. And a final question for me. I'm not an expert on mills in Poland, but I know for sure that Poland uses a lot of coal power as a sort of energy. Is this any issue whatsoever for this mill? Are you sort of using more coal power now in the group of Meyer Mellnoff, or what's your thinking there, or is this question relevant whatsoever?
Yes, it's spot on, Johannes. So far we are not using any coal, and Kwidzyn is using coal, and it will be one of the our topics to solve how to reduce that. But we are, let's say, fairly relaxed in this respect, because we believe that making the whole energy system there more efficient will mean that any CapEx also have a decent payback. But it will be an issue to be addressed, because they use coal. Not just coal, it's a lot of biomass as well, but we have to increase the share of biomass.
Yeah. What's the energy self-efficiency at the moment from your own recovery boiler at the site?
The overall energy sufficiency is, I think, 90% about, or even a bit higher.
So that's electricity.
So basically they are self-sufficient, yeah.
Okay, so the mill is virtually self-sufficient on energy?
On electricity, sorry. But not only on electricity, and on energy, they have a biomass boiler plus the recovery boiler, and they supply more than 50% of the overall energy demand.
Okay, got you. So you're not worried about this theme whatsoever. You have obviously thought about it. Before.
Yes, it was a big consideration, so we are not worried in terms of, we know it is an issue to solve over the next years, but given the savings we see with alternative solutions, energy savings, because it's also not very efficient today, we see the opportunity, so to say, to get the payback via lower energy costs.
Okay, got you. Okay, I actually have one very final question, and that is on potential remedies, and then what you're thinking about the authorities. Is this a deal that should, you know, just go through, or are there any risks that authorities will have any objections on this deal from a competitive perspective?
Yes, I understand your question. So we will with this deal we will stay substantially smaller in FPP than the market leader Metze. Mm. Secondly, we will be on a similar level like Stora if you only look at FPP. But if one looks a bit broader with liquid packaging board and also other grades, then we will still be much smaller. And overall, we think that competition will increase because for a lot of customers, there are now two market leaders who can satisfy a number of their needs, amongst them backups, and in the future it will be three. And so from this perspective, it should be seen favorably, but of course it's always difficult exactly to predict how the Commission will see it. But we feel fairly confident.
Great. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
The next question is from Matthias Pfeifenberger of Deutsche Bank. Your line is now open, sir. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gents. Matthias from Deutsche. A couple of questions. So, and congrats on the deal, by the way. So IP invested in this about $800 million in 2014. And now in the press release, they're talking about they didn't want to sell it because they're spinning off the paper business. But this is a way to generate premium value. I mean, how is that? How can you understand that it's basically you're basically paying for the modernization investments, and they are saying they are generating premium value? And also, did you face any competition in the disposal?
Yeah, I mean, Matthias, on the first question, I cannot say very much because it's actually a question to be addressed to IP. On the second question, it started as a bilateral discussion, which was initiated by us, but there was then another party in the process, so we were not alone.
Mm-hmm. But this number is correct, the 800 million that they tell on the website in terms of investments that were all done in 2014?
That seems now, we've started the CapEx over the last years. I'm not sure we went back to 2014, so I'm a bit surprised now about the magnitude. But as a matter of fact, they invested time and again, expanded the capacity of the paper machines, invested in the pulp mill.
So they're saying
but I can't confirm this, this number
right.
That looks to me a bit too high, but I'm
saying
not
as
sure.
As of 2014, so that's probably the years before that until 2014. Okay, that's fair.
Yes, it must be like this. But one can exclude that they invested in this 1 year so much. We looked at the even 15-year track record, which unfortunately now... I don't have on top of my head, but it must be like an accumulated figure, something like that.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. And then,
as a matter of fact, IP presented it always, and I followed it a bit in my previous job. It has always been a very successful and very profitable mill, and has dipped over the last 2 years due to some market development.
Yeah, so it seems like you had it on the radar for quite some time. And that brings me to the next question. I mean, you are basically in your previous position, you were the master of uncoated wood frees. And I mean, when I look at this, it's like 50% of the revenues, but the margin is substantially lower. So what's the utilization in these two machines, and what grades are you envisaging for a conversion?
So on the first question, the capacity utilization is about 350 out of 410,000 tons. So
80%.
Sorry?
88%.
Yeah. Thank you. So there was some slack last year also, but also in connection with outages They have a system of 5-year outages, which happened last year. On your second question, we do not want to speculate on that. I mean, one option is very clear, that we could rebuild one of the machines into a FPP machine. That would be technically and economically feasible, but I'm not saying we will do it, because that depends on the overall market development. And then there are other packaging grades which we've investigated in great detail what could be done. But to start now a speculation on what we will do is much too early, because it's for sure not something which is on the agenda in this year or next year. We will take our time to properly understand all the implications. It is an integrated mill, and therefore it needs an integrated pulp, paper, and energy concept. And we have to develop that and optimize it. But what was important also for acquiring is that we could convince ourselves that these options exist, both in a technically possible but also economically feasible way. And that's the case. And the reason is very simple. If you have a low cost, I mean, all four machines are in their respective markets in the first cost quartile. And why? Because the pulp mill is extremely competitive, given the wood costs, transport costs, etc., as I said. And therefore, very simplified, you can say whatever you convert to or build new will have a cost advantage, and this is what attracted us.
Okay, on the uncoated wood free, is that mainly cut size, like the Mondi type of product, but or is it more, is it also like bulk material?
Yeah, it is even more cut size, but also folio and reels to a smaller degree.
Okay, on the flexible packaging now, we talked about this a lot in the past. Is this a position you want to keep? I mean, it's obviously a upstream business, right? So it's flexible packaging papers that you sell to converters potentially. Is that a selling candidate, or you really want to keep a very marginal flexible packaging position?
No, it is absolutely core. So here we are. So we are talking here about kraft paper. In this way, it's MF, machine finished paper in very low grammages, like typically 40 gram, which is used for bread bags, fast food service bags, etc. And I think that's a growing market because of the plastic substitution. This machine was formerly a newsprint machine, and they, so to say, only gradually have changed. And it is only a fully committed MF kraft paper machine since, I think, April last year. And therefore, it is still in the ramp-up phase. And we see that as a... So we are very excited that we can add this, because some of our customers in food services who buy carton from us today can use it. And we will investigate options also to add barriers. So the same topics which we have on the carton side, to have plastic-free barriers, is obviously also an issue on the paper side, and that offers new opportunities. So this is absolutely will be core and fits well.
Great. Two remaining ones. Are you happy with your pulp integration at this stage, considering Kotka and Kwidzyn? And I mean, there's no pulp mills lying around for purchase in Europe. But is there some scope for capacity creep or something like that?
So we would be happy because so far we haven't been backward integrated in market pulp. We've been backward integrated with CTMP. Now we get backward integrated with pulp, and so overall this will stabilize our results, because if pulp prices go up, we will have negative effects on our non-backward integrated mills, but have here a positive effect indirectly also obviously for the other grades. And so in this way it stabilizes our results and therefore we like it. In terms of creep, there is little creep with the existing equipment, especially with regards to the recovery boiler.
Yeah. And the last one, I look at these adjustments on the EBITDA and then I see, okay, there's a US headquarter cost, something they will not have to pay for at Maya, but also there is a backward adjustment on CO2 costs. Can you elaborate a bit? Thanks.
Yes, so the main adaptations we made is simply the difference between US GAAP and IFRS, and under US GAAP you can capitalize CO2 costs understood, whereas we take it into our costs, and therefore this was, so to say, a negative adjustment in terms it lowered our EBITDA. Equally, the leasing costs, especially the use of fract, which is a 70-year rent, which is paid to the state for using the mill or the plot of the mill, is fully capitalized. And as we've included that into our enterprise value, logically also the costs, which are, however, fairly small, have to be added back. And on the head office costs, all head office costs, obviously all service costs are fully included. We've not restated it for the profit margin, which is made, which we could have done, improving the results, but we didn't do that. We take all the supervision costs from Brussels, but yes, it's a very small number for Memphis. This we took out because they have no equivalent under Maya Meinhof. But it is a very small number, so.
Okay. Is this saying that you will focus on an adjusted operating profit figure going forward, or is this just for the presentation of this deal?
It's just for the presentation of this deal because we had to adjust it from US GAAP to... Actually, the adjustments were, therefore we called it also adjustments, simply moving from US GAAP to IFRS with this one exception of the head office costs, which, by the way, were never charged really, but just were on group level in IP on in their management accounts.
Okay, thanks for all the transparency and congrats again.
Thank you.
The next question received is from Paul Hawthorne of Jefferies. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I've got two here and I'll just take them in turn. Firstly, Peter, just building on your first cost quartile and the low virgin fiber cost advantage and the wood sourcing in Poland, could you give a little bit of color to why not only just being close to the forest, but the wood sourcing relationships that you've got in Poland and why this mill is well placed there? I believe it's yourselves and Mondi Sweetie Mill that have got really strong wood sourcing relationships. Could you just give a little bit more color on those wood sourcing, please?
Yes, a pleasure. So on the one hand side, you have the state as a major owner, and this is done partly via auctions, partly contributed fixed. But equally, there is a meaningful part of procurement from private owners, which I think is very important, and also some imports, which are fairly minor. So it's a well-balanced portfolio, especially on the softwood side. It's very favorable. On the hardwood side, it's a bit more mixed because Poland doesn't have so much hardwood. And therefore, we have also ideas how to change it. Overall, wood is a factor of the availability of forests plus the cost to cut them. And as labor costs in Poland are lower than in, let's call it Germany or Austria or wherever, that is simply reflected also in somewhat lower wood costs.
And then just following up on the uncoated wood-free segment, I mean, the machines are well into the first cost quartile, and you talk about the optionality to convert this medium term. Could you give kind of a timeline of when you're thinking about that? Because they must be generating still good cash now. You know, what's the offset of giving up that cash generation for the conversion? How are you kind of thinking about that timeline?
Yeah, I fully agree. They are generating cash, and I mean, we've been fairly transparent on the split. So if two-thirds is done by the one machine, it's obviously one-third left for the other three machines. So they are generating cash, but not to the extent, at the moment at least, not to the extent one would expect such big machines to generate cash. There is to be very clear, no thinking yet about converting both machines. So we see uncoated fine paper as a core business we want to stay in. What I was referring, and we will at the beginning not change anything to that. Over time, which might be 2 or 3 years, obviously we will look into the profitability and then say, what could we earn with alternative products minus what we earn now? And if this delta is big enough to justify a capex, and if this delta delivers a sufficient return, then we will make an investment, but it's not planned for 22 or 23.
Very clear, thank you. And then just one last follow-up on, you talked about your folding boxboard machines. Now that you've got this second machine, you offer good stability to your customers by having a backup machine. If you think about the synergies going forward into the converting side of your business, could you give a little bit of the optionality you see there and what does open up? Do you see further expansions to integrate further into the packaging side?
Yes, I think we so strategically seen, we had a master plan developed mid of last year, what our options are, and there are a number of options, and that includes, so as I mean, basically there were on this list two targets in carton, and by chance they happened to materialize both. But yes, we have also on the packaging side options, but typically this would be smaller steps, so buying out private companies, etc., and we will see if this materializes. Now for sure the focus is on integration and on driving the value out what we have invested. So we will be very hesitant to do anything which is a bit more meaningful. Smaller things you can always do. The good news is that the downstream market is not as integrated as in other segments, like you take for instance in corrugated packaging, and therefore there are necessarily or logically more possibilities for acquisitions as well.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
And the next question we received is from Marcia Bisiak of Nova Ljubljanska Banka. Your line is now open, madam. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. I have one question regarding the financials of the company. Would there be any available data for the company itself for the last 3 to 5 years, at least some key financials?
You mean key financials on Kvitsin?
Yes.
To my knowledge, they are not available, and I think the seller, International Paper, will also be reluctant to provide them. So I gave you some information, but I wouldn't be allowed to share more. Let's put it this way.
Mm-hmm. So all the info we have is from this. Mm-hmm.
But I said I think actually a lot, or as much as I could say that historically the EBITDA was higher, and because of the the uncoated fine paper market was heavily hit by the COVID crisis. Over the last 3 years at least, there was a decline in profits, and it's anyone guess how and when this can be reversed.
Okay. And then just the last question about the final debt structure you plan to have. One of the questions was whether the final debt amount will be around 1.2 billion. Is that including also the committed lines you have? Will there be any non-committed lines still left after this acquisition?
So Franz Hiesinger will answer this.
No, the 1.2 million was an estimate on the future net debt end of 21, which we somehow confirm if no further acquisitions or disposals would take place. And we have still a high number of uncommitted lines which we can draw in any case, which we not utilize.
Around, because now you have somewhere around 400 million of non-committed lines. What do you expect in the end of 2021, the amount of the non-committed lines to be?
To be unchanged. We will still keep this open for future opportunities.
So this is a risk buffer. So they are committed but undrawn, and we do
mm-hmm.
not want to draw them.
Uh-huh,
because
yes,
they should be available mm-hmm. if something unexpected bad happens. You see, we always
Thank
want
you.
To be on the safe side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Understand. So around 1.2 billion will be of used lines.
Yes, it will be mainly Schuldschein loan and other facilities which are already in place.
Okay. Thank you.
And the next question is from Madeleine Stockmeyer. Your line is now open, madam. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Who are or where will be the main customers located you want to supply from that mill? And do you expect to explore new markets or customers? If you could share a little bit of light on that.
Yeah, the location of customers is overwhelmingly in Europe. And obviously taking advantage of transport costs, there is a very strong position in Poland and Central Eastern Europe and also Central Europe in terms of Germany. That's the optimization of transport costs, but it's overall very local.
Okay, thank you. That was already it. Thank you.
Welcome.
Before we take the next question, just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. And the next question is from Markus Remis of Raiffeisen Bank International. Your line is now open, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Two follow-ups, please. Given that you've now enlarged your production footprint, is there any idea in terms of relocation of production, anything that would make sense economically? And if so, has that already been built into the synergies you gave us, both in terms of Kotka and Kvistin? And then the second question would be related to the balance sheet. Can you share the asset value with us and what would be like the goodwill position at the end of 91? I'm sure you don't have the final purchase price allocation, but some kind of brackets to hold on to would be appreciated.
Yeah, so on the first question, there will be no closure of an existing mill, if that was your question, to move products. Obviously, there will be relocations in terms of concentration of products to produce to avoid having the same equipment everywhere. But individual orders will be relocated, but there will be no closure of another mill. And on the balance sheet, I hand over to Franz.
Yes, on your question regarding asset value, it's too early to say because eventually during the acquisition accounting, we will revalue the existing assets to market value, what we have to do, and we will see where we come up. But still under investigation.
Yeah, there will for sure be some goodwill.
Okay. And any one-offs on the P&L to be expected, or will that be around book value?
There might be some smaller one-off items, but it will not be a substantial figure.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Again, as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01. And the next question we received is from Sebastian Rotterman of Volksbank Ruhrmitte. Your line is now open, sir. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you for taking my questions. Several questions have just been answered on the balance sheet and the synergies. Could you give some more light on the plus on innovation you see with this acquisition, especially probably a glimpse to the future of plastic substitution? Is it just the IPEC stuff or even more?
Yes, it's definitely more. I mean, I have to obviously be careful in the call because we don't want to be completely open also to our competitors, but we have basically two big subjects. One is the IPEC, which is making good progress, I think, to replace plastic, and we will consider other features to make it even more attractive, and the other is in FBB, in carton board. And we've talked about it with regards to Kotka, that the big topic of the industry is plastic-free barrier solutions in order to replace plastic, what you need, for instance, for your cereals. You don't want to have your cereals in the morning in a plastic bag, which is then in a carton board, in a box, because with carton board you can coat it in a way that it's also grease-proof, by example. Other things are vapor proof, etc. And we have, so to say, the machine is constructed in such a way that we can build in these modern curtain coaters and do similar things like it's done in Kotka, and the idea would then be to have backup solutions, but at the same time also to concentrate on individual products. But it's and then obviously we had the opportunity for expansion with potentially a new machine or conversion of machines, and there are multiple options then to increase innovation. But again, the first step is now to bring what there is under control and to optimize it and to generate cash. And then only in the second step, we will look more into what other products could we make and how can we drive more innovation. But sustainability is at the core of what we do, and we have many options here in this mill to drive innovation.
Okay, thank you.
This was concrete enough.
Yeah, it's okay. Thank you. One more question. So you have now two major acquisitions in really short term of time. Those acquisitions were mostly in stuff like innovation and build out the virgin fiber market. So do you still see further acquisitions, and what will probably they look like, more geographical diversification or even more strategic in products and like this?
Yeah, I would like to say it very bluntly, if you could ask me this question in 2 years, because right now I think the focus has to be absolutely on execution. Again, we do not want to rule out anything, but we have the confidence of our shareholders and our board to make this step, and now we have to deliver and have to pay 100% of our focus on delivering. If in packaging smaller things come up, I think we have, because of the divisional structure, the management capacity to do smaller things for sure. On the carton side, I don't think that this. So this is not a question at the moment, let's say. But at a certain point in time, yes, we can look at things, but we don't want to. It's about stable management, and it's about a solid balance sheet, and that excludes an early next step.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at the moment, so I would like to turn back to you.
Yeah, thank you very much. So we appreciate that you took the time to ask many interesting questions, and I hope we could answer them in a satisfactory way. I'm not going to repeat what we've said, but we think this was an acquisition which was in full line with our strategy. It's an excellent asset which gives us growth opportunities over many years. But you can also be assured that for the next 2 to 3 years, we will focus on delivering and hopefully over-delivering on synergies and other measures. And we thank you for your support, and we promise you to work hard to put these potentials into reality. I wish you all a very good day. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.